Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding
Welcome
all my life.
Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Sterling Holmes and Darren Smith live in studio. I'll ask Darren how he's doing before I get into my rant to start the show off.
Doing okay. I'm looking forward to some of these games tonight, putting some parlays together, see if I can make it do what it do. Albert Pujols retired, or I guess he didn't get retired. he got cut, but he's still getting paid. So
we'll get to that in a second too. But I had to start off.
Well, go for it,
Angel Hernandez.
Well, what about him?
The worst umpire in the history of baseball.
I don't know about that, Sterling.
No, it's
baseball,
easy.
Baseball is well over 100 years old, so that's a lot of officials.
And it's impressive that he is somehow taking the cake by a wide margin.
Why so much hate?
The fact that he has consistently graded out as the worst umpire year in and year out. He complains that he's not getting World Series games, and Major League Baseball said, hey, dude, you're basically lucky you're – still employed by us, and he just has zero self-awareness.
So for the unaware, what makes him so bad?
So
give me some examples.
For example, umpires typically grade out around 95 to 98% correct. That's if you can do that, you're considered a average to above average umpire. He grades out around 83%.
Damn.
Horrendous.
That's still a B, though.
That's an F compared to Major League Baseball.
Okay.
He blames, instead of taking it on himself saying, hey, I messed up a call, he said Kansas City's lights were too bright. The scoreboard is too bright for him. And this is one that went in Kansas City's favor. This was two nights ago. He's not even home playing umpire when this happens. Two nights ago, he says Kansas City's the scoreboard is too bright. And that went for Kansas City's favor. That's unacceptable. That can't happen. Own up. Say, hey, I messed up. Don't blame it on the lights. Then, you have someone where he says got hit by a pitch last night. Didn't get hit by a pitch. Review shows clear and convincing. Not even touched. The only thing it could have possibly hit was the bat, which would have been a strike. They go to the replay. Guess what? Not overturned. Go ahead, Jose Ramirez. Go to first base. You throw out Cal Eldred, then you throw out Mike Matheny, and then Brady Singer for good measure. Because you know why? You blow calls nonstop the entire game. Brady Singer said what every single player, not just on Kansas City, every single player has been thinking for the past decade.
I heard.
What the bleep are you doing? Oh, it was loud.
Today. No, I'm talking about today.
Oh, even today. Right now, he's at third base, I think, today, and he still messed up. He messed up at first base, messed up at third, messed up behind home plate. At some point, Major League Baseball needs to say, no one is paying to see Angel Hernandez blow calls. No one's paying to see him blow calls. They pay to see the players, not Angel Hernandez. The fact he is still an umpire, one, speaks to how strong baseball's union is and the umpire union. But they have a major problem on their hands because this is night in and night out. It's ridiculous.
Well, first of all, I didn't know how much anger you had pent up dealing with this guy.
Joe West was around for a long time, and Joe West was known to not be the best umpire. He had a quick trigger finger. But he at least admitted, hey, I get it. I'm old. I'm not where I once was. Angel Hernandez is just arrogant, obnoxious, and terrible. At some point, he needs to have some self-awareness and say, you know what, maybe I need to hang it up because I obviously don't have it. I don't have it.
The hate that I'm hearing from you is like the same hate that is geared towards Joe Buck, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller just calling games. I mean,
I like Reggie Miller. I like Joe Buck.
Yeah, but you don't like Chris Webber.
Not a huge Chris Webber guy. I love Reggie. I love Reggie. I like Joe Buck. I do like Joe Buck. I think he always gets a bad rap. That's not me. I think he always gets a bad rap. I like Reggie Miller. Actually, I love Reggie Miller. Not a huge Chris Webber guy, but that's a different story. I just think Angel Hernandez is the worst umpire, zero self-awareness, and at some point, Major League Baseball needs to find a way to say, hey, something is wrong here. When every night he is the one trending and not the team's playing,
yeah, I did.
That's an issue.
I did see the phantom hit, which was a damn good pitch. You pitched inside around the guy's
sure.
Knee. Yeah, so no, that was a real good pitch. And I saw it, you know, I saw a lot of people comment about it. I was probably watching a basketball game or something, so I do need to start watching some more Royals games. But when I saw the trend, I was like, well, I must be missing something. I'm sure Strowman's going to talk about it. But then when I was looking at the highlight, I'm like, well, what's everybody complaining about? And then, of course, now you put it out there.
Well, and then the point, too, is instead of saying, all right, I may have messed up, let's – you know how some is either have a makeup call or at least say, all right, let me buckle down. Instead, he goes everything against Kansas City. Any borderline call, cutters right down the middle, calling balls, borderline buck going against Kansas City – he just compounds errors to say, you know what? You tried showing me up. Now I'm just going to just be an absolute bleep hole for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's not cool.
At some point, you have to say, dude, no one cares about you. This isn't about you. It's about the players. It's about baseball, not about you being an absolutely horrendous umpire.
He also knows he can't be touched by the players and the coach. You know, all this face-to-face stuff.
I mean, when Matheny and Cal Eldred came out, those are some pretty big dudes. At some point, something he needs to be fined. At a minimum, he needs to be fined. If players get fined, because for some reason, I have a feeling you're going to see Brady.
You can really fine them, but you probably do.
Players
it to where,
do.
Well, I mean, the players. But what I'm saying, well, they bring in the money. But what I'm saying is that if you're the commissioner, I mean, probably best you do is you don't assign them to any more Royals games.
Any games.
Dude, again, but like you said, they're union.
My point is, he actually helped Kansas City the night before. And I'm still upset because you know why? It's bad for baseball as a whole. I'm going to be consistent. He's bad for baseball. It's a stain on umpiring. If I was an umpire, I would be upset because he is a stain on umpiring.
I don't think he's made any waves today. I know Cleveland is leading 3-0 right now over the Royals, which is going to be the first series where they've actually been swept.
Yeah.
And so that's – I mean, I know we talked a little bit about it with Lebo yesterday. Not a good look if you're a Royals fan right now, especially, you know, basically, what, this is four games? Is it three games?
It's a four-game series, which, again, Wade Davis needs – it's a sad sight, but he needs to be DFA'd. This is one of those things where when you bring back
talking about put him back on the market?
Oh, yeah, he needs to be cut. He's got nothing left in the tank. When you bring back veteran, it's kind of like Albert Pujols when they brought him back this year. It's like, you know, he has nothing left in the tank, but let's see if he can get some stats because he's a good fan favorite. He may bring some guys to the field.
That's 188.
I mean, Wade Davis is getting shelled. Wade Davis has gotten shelled for like four straight years now. I get some was in Colorado, but there's a reason why no one wanted Wade Davis. There's a reason why he came back on, you know, spring tryout came up. They're like, all right, it's good. If he can have anything left, it'll sell tickets. Everyone still remembers him from the 2015 and 14 seasons. Let's see what he has. He's got nothing. At some point, you have to say, let's stop putting him in high-leverage situations.
I mean, if you're the Royals, I mean, you do it because, again, he'll bring you a world title, just like they brought back Alberto Mondesi and
Mondesi is because he's part of the future. Well, Wade Davis is like 36 and throws 88.
I know, but that's the same reason like they kept Alex Gordon's contract. Like, come on, man. You paying this guy all this money, he's not worth anymore.
But also, that team wasn't competing. If you're trying to compete, which the
Royals—
That's
even worse, though, because you kept them on when you're paying them, and they weren't competing.
They had no one who was going for left field. That made some sense financially. This makes zero sense. If you're trying to compete, you have people you can throw into the bullpen who may have something— or at least use him in non-high leverage situations. Yeah. Throwing him in a game, in a tie game, giving up bombs to Naylor, who's not good, to a bad Cleveland offense, is not... at some point to say, Wade, we love what you did for Kansas City. You just don't want him to tarnish his legacy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got nothing to add. I mean, you're right. That's
just where I'm at on it. This Royals team, they have an issue. I thought after last night, Matheny getting into it. I thought Kyle Eldred getting into it. Seeing Brady Singer get fired up, a 24-year-old, not backing down, saying, dude, this is ridiculous. Saying, what the bleep are you looking at? Basically what everyone else is thinking. I like that. There's some fire there.
Got a lot of bleeps going on. I mean, I must have missed some good stuff last night, because if they were doing all that and
oh, it was wild. Last night was, for how many fans were there? What have we been talking, like 6,000 people are going? It was loud. That was the loudest I've heard Kauffman all year.
That's fair. No, I mean, and you know, it's funny because I've been really worrying about going back out to a Royals game, and I didn't know they had an afternoon game. I wouldn't have been able to go today because of the show, but I'm really thinking about going out there catching the game, and maybe I don't know. But see, I'm afraid if I go out there, I'll want to bet on the game. They'll lose. I'll be pissed. I'll talk about it on the show, and then I'll vow not to go out there again, and then I'll go back out there again and watch rinse repeat. So. I'm probably better off watching them on TV right now until they start playing better.
Until they start turning it around.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't know why the bats are going cold right now. Again, they're trailing 3-0.
Are cold. Defense is cold. Pitching hasn't been a huge issue. I mean, some of the starting pitching's been all right. I mean, Daniel Lynch got kind of screwed by the defense. Brady Singer got what happened last night to him.
Right.
I mean, Danny Duffy was pitching okay today. It's not like he's getting shelled. It's just the bullpen's not really keeping it together. They have zero timely hitting. They got guys on last night against Shane Bieber. They could have scored 8 runs last night. They were getting guys on left and right, having hard hit balls, but they couldn't do anything. There was another thing that was a little questionable. Shane Bieber hit Salvador Perez with a base open, and Bieber's has the best strikeout-to-walk ratio in Major League Baseball history. You're like, it's not a slider that got away. It looked like a fastball in the ribs, open base, already has a hit against you in the game. Soler's been scuffling. Of course, Soler hits into a double play right after that. It was one of those things that looked a little questionable. I'm not going to say Bieber did it on purpose, but it did look questionable. So the Royals haven't had a whole bunch going their way.
Well, hopefully the Royals look... I doubt they'd be able to pull out today's game. First of all, it was one thing for them to be in first place. I guess they're not in first place anymore, not even by percentage points. But if you're Kansas City Royals, this is not. I think you're on a 3 or 4 game losing streak right now. Not a good look if you're a Royals fan, because this is not what you expected with them coming back home with this homestand. And who we got? We got Hayden Bradford on. I'm sorry, that's not Hayden Bradford. I guess he's a Sonic Slam participant hoping to win $500. But, yeah, the Royals, not looking good right now.
No. No, it is not. So, with Albert Pujols getting released by the Angels, $30 million they still have to eat. It's a lot of money to release a guy.
Well, they paid him, what, $253 million over 10 years?
I'll have to look that one up. It was a lot.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it was.
And the Angels.
$240 million,
yeah. $240. The Angels didn't get the best decade of Albert Pujols. Cardinals look like
Man got paid.
Yeah, he got his money.
But you know what's crazy is that even when you look at this contract and some of the other contracts, they still feel like it's not a – I mean, if you look at it in its totality, that's really – a fair deal, $25 million, because when you look at what some of these NBA players, LeBron's making what, $40 million a year. I mean, I'm not comparing apples to apples, but we talk about these players making $300-400 million, and it's over a 10-year span and stuff. And like LeBron and them are getting that type of money, like maybe in 3 2-year bunches and stuff like that. So, no, I mean, look, he's
also batted .190 the past 4 seasons.
I mean, it's not it. Well, I guess it's fault.
To me, this is a overlying issue with baseball, with these massive contracts. Because in baseball, you get paid for what you have done, where most sports, it's what are you going to do.
Well, basketball's like that, too.
Sure. But, like, Pujols is another example. Miguel Cabrera, another example of someone who was a stud for so long, but now he's, what, 40?
Yeah, I mean, but
Chris Davis for the
Orioles.
But you
said the same thing about Mike Trout. But if Mike
Alex
Trout,
Rodriguez. But see, Mike Trout got paid a little earlier. But even for an example, like Fernando Tatis, like he's 23 or 22, whatever, and he got like a some crazy long-term deal. It's almost foolish to think that these guys are going to perform at the same level they will, because Pujols, everyone thought, no chance he falls off. 445 home runs his first 11 seasons.
Yeah, that's a lot.
222 his next 10 with the Angels. I mean, he batted 328 with those first 11 years. 256 his last 10. I mean, it's one of those things.
That's still a lot of home runs. That's 600. That's almost 700 home runs.
Yeah, but my point is you got paid to – you're hitting 20. You're averaging 22 a year after averaging 44 or 40 plus.
The juice wore off, man.
I don't think. I'm not gonna throw that on Pujols. He's always been a cut guy with great hands.
No, I'm not gonna put that on him. But I mean, you know, Father Time still undefeated. Well, I'll take it back. He is infinity and one. The only one who's defeated Father Time as far has been Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, Pujols is 41. The air quote 41.
I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Same thing with Julio Franco. Some of those guys who said they were 41 but may have been 46.
Well, see, that's another reason why he went to 22 home runs a year. He aged.
Yeah, he's one of the –
by Pam.
Yeah, she just walks in here. Pam's just walking in here.
Yeah, like we're not going to realize.
Yeah, like we're not even doing a show.
Yeah. Knock on the door or something. Yeah, slide underneath there.
Well, knock on the door would be louder.
Yeah, but at least tap the window or something. Just don't open up the door like you're not in the middle of a
rant right now. I'm angry, Darren. I'm sorry. The Royals made me angry, and it was mostly Angel Hernandez.
It's not even the Royals. It's the umpire. I mean, that's one thing, but you know, if the Royals made you upset about their play or that they cost you money, I get that.
That's the thing. They didn't even cost me money. I didn't even bet.
That's even worse.
That upset.
You know what? I'm disappointed, though, because I didn't bet on today's game, and if I did, I would have gone over. So I'm actually glad I didn't. I figured, you know, as many runs they've been scoring, giving up these last couple of games, I figured, you know, they would have probably gone over 8 or 9, but the fact they've only gotten 3 runs today. You know, Royals' defense or pitching is decent.
Going back, because I can't keep going like this because I'll be too upset.
You need to drink some coffee, dude.
I need to drink some?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had some earlier.
That's probably need some more.
I do need more. That is my issue. That is my issue. Somehow coffee calms me down. Like it's almost a calming factor. That's how much I need caffeine.
You're talking to a guy who does not drink coffee.
I know. It's impressive. So Aaron Rodgers is now – teammates are coming out saying he's conflicted, or former teammates. He's conflicted about his future. You know, he likes Green Bay. He likes football, but he doesn't know what he's going to do. You know, some are saying he's going to do the Brett Favre. Some say he's going to leave for sure, and some says maybe he's back. It's all smoke. You still on the Rodgers is gone train?
Man, you know what? Honestly, I've been not praying about it because it's not going to affect me any way whatsoever, but I am still on that he's never playing, because I guess now you kind of hear a little bit more coming out that he wants Jordan Love gone. Like, dude, what the hell did Jordan Love ever do to you?
Yeah, so like you literally are Jordan Love is what you were to Brett Favre. You think that he would be understanding of this situation, but somehow he's the most ununderstanding when he's gone through the exact same situation.
You know what, man? Aaron Rodgers, that dude, sometimes you just want to smack him around. And that's – I watched a clip of him on the Pat McAfee show today before we started the show, because I was looking at some stuff. I guess the news report that – I guess the big news on Twitter was Adam Schefter going on the Dan Patrick show talking about it wasn't any real hard-hitting news. It was just stuff that accumulated – between the end of the NFC Championship game and to draft day, that he decided to put it out that Aaron Rodgers wants to get out of Green Bay. He said the other people probably had it, but he wanted to make sure he was the first. And I'm like, dude, that's what you call – that's breaking news? You know, so I don't know. I might start doing that now. I might say, you know, the Chiefs are going to be signing Julio Jones, between now and training camp.
Yeah, just start throwing out 57 names, see which one sticks. Don't worry about the other 56. But, Kerryon Johnson, the running back from the Lions just cut, he's going to camp. Yeah, we could just start doing that game and see and say we're first.
Yeah, and don't give nobody credit for it. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, he might not care about money. When we look at what it would cost him if he retired, he would have to give up almost $45 million.
Oh, he's not retiring. He's going to play somewhere.
Well, here's the thing. Now, this is coming from the Green Bay side. If I'm there, I'm telling Rodgers, well, I can't sit on the air, but you're going to play for us. You're not playing for anyone. That's just it. And so you give him that ultimatum. He's either going to come and play for the Packers, and, you know, he's going to have to swallow his pride and do what needs to be done, or he's going to retire. That's just because if I am the Packers, in all seriousness, I'm not trading him, and I'm forcing his hand. Because, again, if he decides he's not going to play, get suspended and, you know, miss OTAs and training camp, stuff like that, and sits out that season, that's $45 million. I said he has to pay back, I think, like $24 million in bonus, signing bonus, like $6 million in roster bonus, and then, you know, what he would miss for paychecks and stuff throughout the year. So, again, that's $45 million. I ain't got $45 million. Now, I know you're rich, but you ain't got
no,
that kind of
money.
I don't
even have, like, $45.
Man, I almost cussed on here. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers had better be all in his decision not to go back to Green Bay. Because, I know I said that he and Deshaun Watson, and to an extent we thought Russell Wilson weren't going to play. Obviously, I don't think Deshaun Watson's playing back for Houston, but for different reasons. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, you better stick to your guns, because they're going to try to call your bluff. Because they still feel, at the end of the day, $45 million is $45 million.
Sure, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's a lot of money.
And he's made a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But, damn, I'm not going to my bank to sign over a check for $24 million. Damn that.
Deshaun Watson has been awfully quiet. All the allegations and rumors have looks like they've died down, at least from what I can tell. I haven't seen much coming up recently.
Right.
Is that good news? Is that bad news?
Good news for me, because I'm supporting my guy, but I believe, if reports are to be true, that over the last 2 weeks that there hasn't been any news release or anything like that. I'm thinking that, and we talked about this, I think, off the air a little bit yesterday, that what I believe is happening is the lawyers are trying, I think he's trying to get a settlement done.
Sure.
And that is the most advantageous and the most cost-effective for Deshaun. Now, it's going to cost the man a lot of money, but it's going to cost him less than what would happen if it all went out to trial, all went out to open. Again, remember, we talked about a little bit yesterday that there's no criminal investigation going on. And so, again, if you go and you have this civil stuff, and not only one, two, but you got 22 different cases, you don't want 22 different criminal charges being filed against you. You know, I haven't been to prison before. I haven't been to jail before. I haven't even been in the back of a cop car before. I know. I'm an anomaly. You know, I'm a black man. I'm not. But don't nobody want to go to jail in Texas. And even if you're Deshaun Watson, you ain't got the money to be keeping brothers off your ass down there, because they are going to want to take advantage of you. If I'm Deshaun Watson, you want to play. You obviously don't want to play in Houston. And I believe that there are still some teams that will be willing to trade for Deshaun if they find out that he's not.
But you don't think his value, at least, is going to be a little less now? And will Houston be?
Well, no. Here's the thing. His value would be less if you're Houston as it relates to trying to trade him. But wherever he goes, he's going to be that guy. I just think, you know, trust me, I, for Deshaun, it's good because any team you go to may not have to give up as much now to get you. And if I'm Deshaun, you know, that's one thing that Deshaun wanted in a trade, was he didn't want to have the team to have to trade for a whole lot to get him. Now,
Tough bleep, Deshaun. That's not how it works.
Well, I mean,
maybe
now because of what has come out. So if I'm Deshaun, but the question is, what teams would be willing to still trade for him? I think the Miami Dolphins would. If they could get out of under two, I think they would do it. I think the Denver Broncos would as well.
Yeah, I think Denver's the first one that pops to your mind.
But to be quite honest, I mean, you know, even though Sam Darnold believes that, you know, that they believe in him, hell, if Deshaun Watson comes available, you think the Carolina Panthers aren't going to get rid of him to get
sure.
Deshaun? Yeah.
No, I mean, at Carolina, they tried the hardest before all this went down. Everyone kept every move. They're pretty open about it. Carolina kept basically saying, like, hey,
I think the 49ers would have gone after him as well.
Yeah,
I'm talking about before.
Yeah, but Carolina seemed like to be the most adamant about these moves are for Deshaun.
Well, they were the most public about it.
Sure.
I think because the 49ers were one of the teams that Deshaun mentioned that he wouldn't mind going to. I mean, granted, that's a hell of a division. I believe in Deshaun that he could go down there and win a division, but that is one hell of a division that NFC West is going to be this upcoming season.
AFC South should stay there. I mean, if you want to be realistic, that's probably your best chance of making the playoffs.
Because if you're Houston, you don't want to trade him because you don't want to see him twice a year.
I'm saying just if he stays in Houston, this is probably his best chance based on the division.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, what do you got? You got the Jags? No. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, he's still a rookie. I mean, they need more than just Trevor Lawrence. And you have the Colts, who are good.
Well, they're a playoff team. So.
I think they're good. I don't think they're great. I think they're good. I just think that the Houston.
Well, they're better than Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's something. And then what was the third team?
Dude, I'm drawing a blank.
I know.
That's bad.
That's bad. Man, I got my phone.
Look it up. You have your laptop right in front of you, and somehow I'm the one expected. Just look at me. I feel like an idiot right now.
You should.
This is on you. We both just dropped the ball.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah.
Honestly,
and I think Tennessee took a step back.
Huh?
Not necessarily a
step
back.
Who did they lose?
I just don't think they improved. I think that they've...
Even if they stay stagnant, they're still better than what...
I think that they've maxed out without improving the defense. If they don't get the cornerback in a secondary situation figured out, I just don't see them being able to beat any elite teams. That's just where I'm at. I just don't think that secondary, which ranked 29th in the NFL last year, is going to be stout enough to keep teams from scoring.
The only other team that I would say that could use Deshaun, the question is going to be whether or not they can fit him underneath the cap. I think at his rate of $10 million this year, I think he could do it. But I think one dark horse team to look out for, if he becomes available, is the New Orleans Saints. Because it still seems like they're trying to find their quarterback of the future because even though Sean Payton was like, you know, they were looking for a corner, he said in the draft, but as it relates to quarterback, he says that they want someone that they feel they can lead them to wins and stuff like that. I think it's Jameis Winston over Taysom Hill. But again, if they can, you see, their problem is that their salary cap is so screwed.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a total mess. So, I mean, if you can make cap space, which, you know, salaries have to match and players and stuff like that. I think Deshaun Watson in New Orleans is not a bad idea either. And to be quite honest, hell, if I was the Atlanta Falcons, if I get under
out of Matt Ryan's contract, yeah,
he'd be gone to Houston quick, and I'd bring Deshaun home since he's from the Atlanta area.
Yeah, the Saints would be fun from a football perspective because the Saints would automatically
be
top three.
Yeah, they'd be at worst an NFC divisional championship, you know, team.
I'm with you with Jameis Winston over Hill. Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, even that one throw in the playoffs that we saw from Jameis was better than Drew Brees' last eight games there. I just still don't think that he's the full answer. Maybe we're wrong, and maybe he has cut down on the interceptions, and he's going to have better decision-making. I just don't see a player who was that inconsistent all of a sudden become some keeping the arm strength and keeping the aggressive nature he has while also cutting back on interceptions. I just don't see that necessarily happening.
Well, here's the thing. It does help. See, Jameis Winston took the Patrick Mahomes route because he humbled himself to be able to go one, take $1 million salary after getting $20 million his last year in Tampa Bay, to go sit behind Drew Brees, not only learn an offense, but kind of learn what it's like to be a professional, because you didn't hear anything. You didn't hear anything bad about anything going on with Jameis. Everybody loved him or whatever. And then he came in, mind you now, he learned that style of play, and he also, you know, and Sean Payton is known to be a quarterback guru, so to speak. And so working with him, I think he improved because he didn't take big chances. I mean, he, you know, even though, you know, the pass that you talked about that he made during the playoffs, he wouldn't have made that play had he been in Tampa Bay, because it probably would have been an interception. So I think by what he did, he became a better player. And but you also got to remember, you also had Michael Thomas, you know, that was hurt a lot.
Yeah, and they had
Emmanuel Sanders, and
who did nothing pretty much the entire season. I mean, it was tough because Drew Brees just was playing through injury. I think if it wasn't his last year, I do think they kind of maybe forced him into a little retirement and said, "Hey, Drew, please don't play for another team."
He came back because there was a possibility that Tom Brady would have gone. And that's why he came back and did that last year, because he felt that, man, the last thing he wants is Tom Brady coming to New Orleans and winning with his teammates.
That talk about bad for his legacy.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then he goes and beats you anyway.
It didn't matter in the end, but yeah.
But if you're if you're Jameis Winston, again, I just believe that he is going to flourish in this office if given a chance. Again, health is always a deciding factor. The defense has been a little bit retooled. You know, players have restructured their salary, but you still got Cam Jordan. You still got a lot of great defenders down there.
DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins.
Yep. And so, you know, if healthy, man, I think New Orleans is going to be right there in the mix again.
Well, I think so, too. I think they're just so deep at multiple positions. They don't really have a weak spot. You could maybe say they could use another wide receiver. They could.
But the thing, I mean, you know, if Taysom Hill is this big gadget, then Jameis Winston quarterback, you can line him up in different formations.
Do what he has been doing and use him as that Swiss Army knife.
And here's the other thing. Because Jameis has a big arm, he can get the ball deep to Sanders as well as
– Smith, the fast guy. I mean, Antonio – they have some guys that have some speed that I just don't think Drew Brees could hit late on in his career. We'll take a quick break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Royals still down 3-0, bottom of the 7th. Danny Duffy's worst outing, and he still has a 1.29 ERA. Duffy's still been so good all season. If this is going to be Duffy's like worst outing, we'll be okay, Royals fans, because that's a phenomenal outing. Phenomenal season and start for Danny Duffy so far.
Does it just
What do you mean?
I mean, he said it one some ERA, but they're giving up three runs. So
3 runs in 6 innings. That's enough. If this is gonna be a bad start for Duffy this year, you'll take this every single time. Quality
give
start.
You that. No, I'll give you that.
It gives your team a chance 1,000%. To win.
Yeah, they still have a chance to win. I don't see it working out in that fashion. But yes, they do still have a chance to win.
That's all you can ask from your starting pitcher.
You can ask for a no hitter too.
Yeah, John Means. John Means got.
Ask for a no hitter.
Hey, by the way, local kid, John Means from Kansas City went to high school around here.
Where'd he go?
I think it was one of the Olathe schools. I have to double check that. He was a Kansas City guy, though, and throws a no-no for the Orioles. Should have been a perfect game.
There's a few of those that should have happened like that this
year. No. Dropped third strike. So not on him. On the catcher. Dropped third strike. Runner advanced to first base. So he's the first player in Major League Baseball history to not give up a hit, a walk, hit by pitch, and it not or an error, and not be a perfect game. It was because it was basically a wild pitch that the catcher couldn't handle in the dirt. And it was a strikeout, and the guy got to first base, and that technicality makes it not a perfect game.
How the hell you strike him out and you get to first base anyway?
The ball hit the dirt, and you can run to first base, and the catcher couldn't corral it in time to throw him out at first.
Oh, wow.
So first time in Major League history that happened to not be a perfect game. That sucks for John Means. Still a phenomenal throwing a no-hitter, but you're still like, that's it? That's what happened from keeping me from a perfect game?
Yeah, I'd feel a certain kind of way right about now if I was him.
Good for him. Orioles aren't good. That's about what it takes to win. If you're an Orioles pitcher,
and could it be any worse for you?
All right, I know it's something you want to talk about, so I'll give it to you. James Harden, confident he'll return before the playoffs. Nets still your favorite to make it out of the East, even with the plethora of injuries and the lack of cohesion playing together?
First of all, I did not want to talk about James Harden because this is the first I'm hearing about him being confident he's going to return healthy. I mean, if healthy, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets should be the best team, but I think someone that's mentioned before on television, so I'm not the first to say it, but I do believe that James Harden is the most important piece of this puzzle. Because we've seen what two-headed monster between, with Kyrie and with Kevin Durant going up against Giannis, it's gone down to the wire, but the Bucks have found a way to win at the end, and I think it's more on the, not really the defense side of the ball, but it's just more so they have more of an inside presence that they can that they can get to the glass. Some James Harden kind of fills that void, and even though DeAndre Jordan did have, you know, I think 9-10 rebounds in those games. It's just the mentality of a Harden where he doesn't mind going out and getting you a triple-double like a Russell Westbrook. Like he doesn't mind going down and battling, you know, the big guys if he has to. You know, he'll shoot a long three-point shot, but if he misses rebound, he'll go get it. And I think because of his size and his dynamic and him being comfortable in running the point, allowing, see, because right now Kyrie has to run the point.
Sure.
And so when Harden running the point, Kyrie can focus on being the two guard, and then he can also, of course, you know, pass as well, be the point guard. And then Kevin Durant doesn't need as many shots, so that's what makes him so dangerous.
Durant, I think, is the X factor for me, because Durant is ridiculous.
No, but what I'm saying is he was healthy, Kyrie was healthy, and they lost both back-to-back games with Milwaukee. I'm saying when they're all healthy, I think James Harden brings a different dynamic. Now Kevin Durant is the most valuable player on that team, but I believe that James Harden is the most important piece of that puzzle, most important person on that team because of everything that he can do. Durant can kill you and doesn't need that many opportunities to be able to hurt you. This guy here, I mean, because, again, he can kill you. He can go out and get you 60. He can go out and get you 20 rebounds. He can go out and get you 15 assists.
Durant is now starting to play not on a minutes restriction. Last 10 games.
I didn't think he was playing a minutes
restriction. He's not playing a lot of back-to-backs. Milwaukee. Yeah, he's played in six of his last 10 games, averaging 29 points on 57% from three. 57% from three.
But he's really not shooting that many three-point shots either, though.
He's shooting a decent amount. He's just going like 4 of 7 or 5 of 8. And just Durant is so good because he doesn't need to have the ball consistently in his hand. He can spot up and hit like Klay Thompson. But if you need a bucket, give it to the 6'11 forward with handles and let him go to work. He's just a mismatch nightmare. The same way that Giannis is for the Bucks, Durant is a mismatch nightmare. I think he's the X factor because he can literally do anything and not have to have the ball in his hands.
No, again, I agree because of what he's able to do with without the ball. But I'm saying if healthy, yes, I'm rolling with Brooklyn because you have three players that could collectively give you 30 apiece out there, and they give you 90, and then you get the rest from your other two players. I just think that we have seen, because we've just seen them go up against the Milwaukee Bucks back-to-back games. If this were the playoffs, they'd be down 0-2.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is they did this, and the games went down to the wire, and James Harden wasn't even in the game. He wasn't playing. I'm saying if he's healthy, we're looking at a different outcome potentially.
Harden, Irving, and Durant have only played 7 games together.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah.
So Harden's game plan is to come back at least a couple games before the playoffs to give him a little bit of cohesion. I just don't know if it's going to be enough, because when LeBron James, who was the best player in the NBA at that time, Dwayne Wade, who was, what, top 10 probably that time, and then Chris Bosh was top 20 at that time when he was down from Toronto. He just never had the big numbers, but he took that third role and did it admirably. They didn't win their first year. They went far, but they didn't win their first year.
But that's different. I mean, LeBron had a different mentality. I mean, he hadn't won a championship yet, so his whole mind frame was mentally.
No, Kyrie has, yeah, and saying, Durant but,
yeah,
has.
So what I'm saying is that that's a different scenario, because granted, only Dwayne Wade had won a championship, but it's like, but it's one thing to be able to win it. It's another thing when you have quote unquote the best player in the game, who was 0-1, maybe 0-2, I think at the time. No, he was 0-1, and then of course they have a series against the Dallas Mavericks where they were up 2-1.
And Dirk and J.J. Barea Terry.
But what happened, you literally saw LeBron freezing up like that's, like that instance where Sam Donald talked about seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
You could see LeBron freezing up like, I don't want the ball. Jordan like, really, dude? So you going to compare yourself to me? You don't want the ball? So I don't see the same scenario playing out in that manner because – again, LeBron hadn't won, and he hadn't developed that championship mentality because he hadn't won it yet.
Sure.
And so, and Harden has been in the finals before, of course, because he and Durant, they lost their first championship to LeBron, back in the OKC day. So he's not. I think that if he gets to a finals, he's not going to freeze up or anything because he's played in it. Granted, he was in the role of six man, but the other two have won titles. And so, I just think at the end of the day, that's not going to be, that's not going to be a factor at all.
I think the lack of playing together with the poor defense and not having – I like Steve Nash a lot as a player. I thought he was awesome. As a head coach, basically being hands-off and saying, letting the players decide how they're going to run it. It seems smart and it seems good, but inevitably something's going to happen that you're going to need someone to say, hey, you're the inbounder, you're taking the shot, and if they don't have something in place, that could end up horribly. I like the Sixers. They've won 6 straight games. With a healthy Embiid, they have no answer on the Nets.
Well,
0. You're going to throw DeAndre Jordan at him and get crushed again. I mean, Embiid has been cruising past DeAndre Jordan. He's, 3 inches taller than him?
Didn't they beat him the last time they played each other?
I'm just saying, in a 7-game series, I think Embiid gets the better because you have the
defensive advantage with
Simmons that a lot of teams don't have.
Here's the thing. One, Royals are trailing 4-0 after just giving up a solo home run to Reese.
From El Reyes.
Yeah, Reyes. And so, they're down 4-0, top of the 8th inning. But going back to what you were saying, again, man, this is what I'm trying to tell you, dude. That when healthy, I think that they're going to, look, they had some defensive issues when Harden first got there. They were like the worst defense, but then their defense has gotten better. I'm willing to put my whole money up on this, that if they end up playing Philadelphia, they're going to win that series one. In the opening round, they're not gonna face that team. But if James Harden is back by the time, you've got four to quote unquote seven games to figure it out. And you know, they're professionals. I mean, and look, Dave, because they're both point guards, they have the mentality to make sure they can either score, they can get other people involved. And Kyrie Irving and James Harden, they played well with each other when Durant was injured. I think that they'll be able to figure it out without any issues whatsoever. But as a fan, we're about 2 weeks closer now to the start of the quote unquote play-in and stuff.
I just think that with Simmons and Matisse Thybulle is a absolute menace defensively. I don't know if you know much about him.
Nah, but the
dude
problem
is
but here's the thing.
He could guard 1 through 4 easy.
Here's the thing. You know what you're going to get from Joel Embiid. You don't know what you're going to get from Ben Simmons, because one game he'll score 21 points. You'll be like, damn.
And
try to drop a money
Danny
on the next
Green,
game.
For that matter. You have
yeah,
no idea what
you're
going
to get. Then
you put
money on the next game, be like, and then they get like 8 points. You'd be like, what the, you know. And because I know, because that's what I've said. So I don't know what I'll get. Again, I know I'll get 32 and 12, 32 and 15 from Embiid. I can count on that. You can count from time to time. And see, that's the thing.
Tobias Harris is pretty solid, too. He is very underrated.
See, for me, this is just for me, and I'm coming at it even from a gambling thing. I just don't get enough consistency. That's what worries me about a Milwaukee, because I don't know what I'm going to get from Chris Middleton from night to night. You know, I mean, the start of the season, yeah, he was giving me 22, 23. Then you put a couple dollars on him. Then he gets like 9 points. I'm like, dude, you should be an all-star. You know, I need consistency. I know what I'll get from Giannis. I know what I'll get from, you know, injury aside, I know I'll get from Kevin Durant. If Kyrie's head is in the game, I know what I'll get from him. I know what I'll get from Steph Curry. He'll hit 7 3-point shots, but hell, he'll take 19. Like, come on, dude. Come on, man. And so I know what I'll get from those guys that are MVP caliber. Like, I know what I'll get from Jokic.
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest, even Utah Jazz, you know, I know what I can get from Ingles. And Ingles ain't a superstar, but they're just so consistent in what they do. Even Joe Harris, I don't depend on him much, but if I know if I got him down for 3 3-point field goals, I can kind of count on that. And that's what for me carries me in my belief that certain teams will win when it's all boiled down to, because of the consistency that I know that not only the star players will give me, but their role players will give me as well.
We'll take a quick break, come back. Maybe a little more NBA to finish off the show.
Can I always do some picks, too, some picks and parlays.
That's what you need to do. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. All right. Honey came in
and she got me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. You're working me. Picture this, we were both butt naked,
banging on the bathroom door. How could I? Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Been going through a Shaggy kick. We had this, Mr. Bombastic, Angel. We play bangers on our intros back in here.
We do. I'm proud of you, man.
Hey, it's for you. All right, what do you want? Give me your parlays, and we got you got 2 minutes. Get them out.
All right, so I got Chicago over Chicago over Charlotte, straight up. Monday.
Okay, okay.
I've got Brooklyn over Dallas by 4, minus 4.
Sure.
I've got – had the Toronto Raptors money line over Washington Wizards. But man,
oh, no, I don't like that one.
Yeah.
Give me the Wiz kids. Russ is too hot right now.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I also have Memphis straight up money line over Detroit.
I like it.
I have, let's see here. I have Atlanta minus 6.5 over Indiana.
Ooh, I don't know about that one, sir.
Did you see how Indiana played last night?
I do, but Give me the bounce back.
That's fair.
I like, dude, I'm a Sabonis guy.
I told you, one of the guys I depend on. He's
also,
even...
what happened to Miles Turner? Is he hurt? Like, I feel like Miles Turner just felt the face of the earth.
I don't know, but man.
He went from being like the new future face of centers and all of a sudden was like, hey, man, I have no idea. No one's going to hear from me again.
Yeah, Sabonis is all right with me. I'm giving Golden State 14.5 over Oklahoma City.
OKC's bad, man.
That's why I'm giving 14.5.
OKC, though, has those occasional games where they're like, you know what? We're going to keep it close to make it look like we're not tanking too hard.
And then I am going to go with the LA Clippers straight up. I'm going with the Clippers straight up.
Over who?
The Lakers.
Oh, yeah, I like that. You going with the Clippers?
Yeah.
Darren, that's surprising. Way to join the Clip Show side.
That's all the way to do it.
This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Don't follow Darren's betting advice. I would recommend doing the opposite probably.
It might work for you.
It might work for you. We'll be back live into you tomorrow. Take it easy. We're out of here.